Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with your politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. Even though you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
We'll be right back.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he said, no, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him, and then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me, and I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on not meant to be way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on pity way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it's on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad a cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
Friends, it is time once again for our daily message of hope. And with today's message, here is Richard Eaton.
Friends, to brighten your day, here is our message of hope. Afraid of change? You can't do anything about it. Change is inevitable. Growth is the great fundamental principle, the function of our lives. The seed in the ground will rot if it does not sprout and grow. And so will our minds and souls and bodies. Without conscious action and striving, our Creator answers most prayers in the terms of ideas for action. He doesn't give us something for nothing. He expects us to use what He gives us in active exercise of a freedom which He permits our minds and souls to exercise in reactions to the life patterns of ups and downs, strange events, curious, unforeseen happenings. Human consistencies, all can be changed according to the way our mind evolves, adapts, and grows. Nothing in this world is so inevitable, nor hardly so obvious. The fact is, everything does change. So often we'd like things to remain the same. It'd be so comfortable, nice. We get used to things. We adapt ourselves to a certain pattern. And then suddenly, without any warning, it changes. What are you going to do about it? Well, the first step in gaining a happier and more satisfying state of mind is recognition of the significance of this fact. Everything changes. Everything in life is changing as you and I are changing. And we must do more than this to take proper advantage of the ceaseless change inevitable in our lives. We must consciously react to direct actions that change in the paths of improvement, in the growth of our mind and soul. Change alone is inevitable and constant. But change alone is not growth. It is not progress. We have to do the progress ourselves. We have to convert. We have to adapt. Growth is a cornerstone, the primary marvel of our earthly lives. Our Creator has provided for physical growth in a pattern in which He has given us only limited powers to alter. From babyhood, we go to childhood. From childhood to adolescence. From adolescence to adulthood. And so the story grows. Physical growth. But the way we adapt ourselves to prepare ourselves for those unusual situations, the ones which we can call pleasant or unpleasant, that depends on the way we grow in our minds, the way we grow in the power of adaptation. For friends, life is a constant adaptation. Every phase of life presents a spectacle of change. And as a consequence, the spectacle of retrogression, a standstill status or progress of growth. In each case of progress or growth, there is a constant overcoming, a vanquishment of the obstacles met in the Creator's pattern of constant change. See, that's all important. All about us, we see growth or deterioration taking place in grass, in flowers, in vegetables, in pets, in our children, in our own body. But the thing that's important is the way we adapt ourselves to this change. That's all important. In our affairs, all too often, we select for cultivation the very things we don't want. Courses that lead to mistakes and trouble, sorrow and pain. Then we carefully endow these selections with the full energy of our thoughts and words. We water them with tears and self-pity. Give them the concentration of undivided attention. And then we have a way of wondering why, indeed of all our efforts, we grow in a crop of trouble and discord. Let me tell you, it is not necessary. Let us deliberately refuse to turn our thoughts to those weeds we do not want. We must discipline our minds to concentrate on the good, on positive thoughts, the sunshine and water and soil that produce good in our lives, on the thought energy, the emotional powers we concentrate on our affairs to convert inevitable change into growth. In other words, our job every single day, and this day too, is to watch where we're going, what we're doing. If we want love and happiness, be sure it's to love and happiness that you devote your attention, not to discord and bitterness and resentment. If you want success in some field, give full recognition. Yes, give full recognition to success, and it's yours already. Think positive thoughts. Fix the life-giving force of your attentions and assurance and faith on the good you already have. Look for it in every circumstance. Now make no mistake about it, change is inevitable. You can't halt the process of change any more than you can keep your child a baby. In the words of Dr. Arthur H. Compton, everywhere the conditions of life are changing rapidly, and these changes are all in the direction of greater interdependence. That is, making better cooperation of paramount importance. The point is that in this process of change, we go forward or we go backward. We bow to circumstances We rise above circumstances. Of course, we cannot be expected to see beyond the point of our understanding any more than we can see beyond the horizon limit of our eyes. But the point is, we can master the thoughts we permit to remain in our minds. We can choose our thoughts according to God's laws. We know we get out of life exactly what we put into it. Nothing more, nothing less. We know if we sow love, we shall reap love. We sow hate, we reap hate. We have the power to concentrate on whatever kind of thoughts we choose. We know that if we endeavor to have an understanding heart, we shall find elsewhere an understanding heart. We know if we pardon, we shall be pardoned. We know if we give, we shall receive. Look at your own picture, 5, 10, or 20 years ago. See what a change has been made on the outside, in the outside person. You will scarcely know yourself. Well, that's the growth of the body. But God has given you the mastery of your mind. Your soul can keep pace with the growth of the body. Just as the less perceptible growth of the trunk of the tree matches the more visible enlargement of its limbs. Look back at what you were thinking 5, 10, or 20 years ago, at the obstacles which seemed insurmountable then, at the joys and sorrows of yesterday. And just as it's hard to believe, those old photographs are you. Yes, we really looked as we did, not as we see ourselves in the mirror today. So it is equally difficult to imagine the progress, the maturity, that our soul has accomplished and made in the course of these years. In other words, we do not change without more than we change within. This is all important to know. There is no limit to the transformation which can take place in your mind. When we dig a little deeper in our search for answers to life's questions, when we wisely read between the lines, we find that God puts his blessings upon our efforts and draws us close, imparts to us his divine wisdom. We find, first of all, that our soul, our mind, gains maturity as we react in a positive manner to the pattern of life, no matter how unpleasant or unexpected. A pattern which we may not be able to change, except in our minds. But remember, that's all important in our mind, because what actually counts is what we think, the way we feel about something. The growth of the soul, therefore, depends upon our free reaction to the problems with which we are faced. Our life is part of a divine plan, carefully prepared in every detail. Each moment of that plan offers a marvelous opportunity for our adaptation, for the growth of our soul and of our mind. The whole picture of our lives is so much brighter than the small pieces that hold and which our minds are prone to dwell on at length. Isolated from the background of all this, the whole, some parts, may look awfully black. But let me tell you, our Creator, in time, ultimately moves in on our subconscious mind and plays a pleasant trick on all of us. The unpleasant experiences of the past are relegated to the past. When we realize the power of our mind, the real secret escapes us as long as we fail to exercise that freedom of choice, all important, endowed to us by our Creator. This mystery of growth functions in time of crises more than ever before. We say, why does this happen to me? How could this happen to me? I don't deserve this. Suppose we say, this is an opportunity, a challenge to react and gain greater maturity. Life with its steady, compelling urge to grow means that any door may open to us at any moment. Life makes us beneficiary of the physical experiences that the ages have bequeathed to us, of the signs and inventions of genius, of the mental and physical work of our forefathers that set us free to seek the larger spiritual things of life. Friends, let us profit by these examples of the past, by physical knowledge, to prepare ourselves better for the experiences of life. Yes, we can encounter experiences of all kinds along life's highway, good and bad, pleasant and unpleasant. We can prepare ourselves for many trials simply through the richness of knowledge of those who lived before us. But along that same highway, each of us is certain to meet some experiences so different from those for which we are prepared and so unexpected. But the point is, are they going to catch us unprepared and unaware? Each of us on life's journey must face a great many such surprising and disconcerting experiences that happen every day, any minute, and take us unprepared and aware. The knowledge that somehow or other we have inside of us the strength, the power, and mastery of our mind to control every situation, to react, and so to change in our mind our feelings about any problem and situation is all important. What a wonderful privilege is ours to be a human being, to know that we endow with the mastery of our mind, that we can control through our reactions whatever is our fate. No, we may not control circumstances or situations, but we can control our life because we control that which we feel about life. What a wonderful challenge it is. Friends, you've been listening once again to our message of hope. God bless you, everyone.
Listen again tomorrow for another message of hope with Richard Eaton. This is UBC, the United
States. Hello, this is Deborah Yao with Black Education TV, and I'm going to be discussing tiny homes, the whole tiny home movement. It seems to be catching on in the Black community as well, because owning a big home with a large mortgage is just not the way to go anymore. A lot of people bought into large homes, big mortgages, and they did so without realizing the impact that it will have on their future. I did a video before where I talked about mortgage and what it actually means. It means death pledge. And so a lot of people are trying to opt out of this because you literally lock yourself into a lifetime commitment just to own a home that you really don't own, because if you don't make your payments, they will come and take it. Now, I hear those who talk about the whole idea of, well, you never really own land because they can take it because of taxes and things of that nature. The difference with the tiny home movement is once you build that structure, and if you have it built right, and if it's on wheels, you can move that home with you. You can take that home with you. A lot of people are having tiny homes built that are movable, portable. And so they can go literally travel the country and have their home in tow with them, you see. I think it's a great option because when you look on YouTube, there are a lot of people who are building tiny homes that are very affordable, and they ultimately own it free and clear. No strings attached, no mortgage, no anything. They own it free and clear. And they're a lot more solidly built than just a regular travel trailer. And so they provide permanent living for a lot of people. Some people have their tiny homes parked in their friend's backyard. They may lease a piece of land. They may go to an RV park or a trailer park or just any temporary type situation. There are even so-called tiny home communities that are developing around the country, because a lot of people are tired of living large and not being able to afford it. And especially if you're single, you don't need a whole lot of space. A tiny home provides you with ample space and storage and all the things that you need to live and survive in this ever-changing world where expenses are just going through the roof. What I'm happy to see is that a lot of so-called Black people are jumping on this bandwagon as well. That's why I'm sharing these images that you see now, where more and more are saying, look, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to live my life. I'm not going to live my life in debt, wondering if the mortgage company is going to come and take my place, if I can't afford to pay it any longer. These are great options that are being presented right now. And I think more and more people, especially in the so-called black community, are going to start looking at this as an option. There are a lot of empty nesters where it's just a husband and wife or just a single man or single woman who may not be able to afford conventional living. And so when you look at tiny home videos, even though I have a large family, I love looking at tiny homes and how they're put together, because there are a lot of people who feel like they're running out of options. And there are many options out there if you're willing to explore. Now, I have heard single people or small young couples say, well, no, that's too small. I've even heard individuals say that too. That's too small for me. I would feel too cramped. But when you're presented with fewer and fewer options and it's becoming more and more expensive to live and buy a house and all of this, then you may consider this option at some point. Although it may appear to be cramped, but imagine if, let me just throw this option out there. Imagine if you were able to buy just 2 acres of land. Many times you can grab 2 acres, 3 acres, 5 acres very, very cheaply, depending on what area you're trying to live in. You might be able to get 2 to 5 acres or even 1 acre for less than $10,000. And for some of you, that's your tax rebate or your tax refund, or that could be your savings. But get the land this year and slowly build on the tiny home, getting help where you can. I mean, I've seen women actually embark on a project like that all on their own. And there was one woman whose video I looked at. She was twice divorced, and she said both divorces kind of like put a strain on her financially. And so what she decided to do, she said, okay, look, I'm tired of this having to get out of my house because I'm getting divorced or what have you, and now we have to split the house or whatever, the splits of dividends from the house. And so she decided that she was going to build her own tiny home. And I would say she looked like she was in her 50s. This woman looked like she was in her 50s, but she got her hammer, her nails, her wood, and her structures, and she just went for what she knew. And she built herself a really nice tiny home. A really, really nice tiny home. You could start off with something basic at first, but when you think about your future and how expensive it is to live and how prices just seem to be going more and more through the roof, they're going up. And if this can be an option for you, even if you feel like it's too small, if you feel like it's something you don't want to do, just consider it. Keep it in the back of your mind as something that you may want to consider with all of these rising costs. That may be an option for you. I've seen some very impressive tiny homes, including the ones that you see, some of the images you see. I've looked at their videos, some of them, and they've built some very impressive structures. Even if you're a new family, just starting out, husband and wife, and you may only have one child or you're about to have one child, this is a great option until you are able to do better. Even with 2 children, as your family grows, you can think of something different. But if you need time to save money and you haven't started the family yet, this is a great option. And when the time comes, if you need something bigger, you have this thing that you own free and clear that you can sell to someone else, which can be a possible down payment towards something bigger, or perhaps a down payment towards buying land, or maybe you can sell it to buy land and do something more permanent. Do something bigger than a tiny home, but still affordable. At this stage in the game, as we look around this country and see how things are playing out, how the dollar is shrinking daily, all of us are going to have to come up with other options. All of us are going to have to consider downsizing. It's kind of funny when you see articles pop up, abandoned mansions. It's funny when you look at these images of these big, beautiful houses, 5 and 10,000 square feet, where they're calling them abandoned mansions. Some of them have been empty for decades. Some of them recently empty. This is because people are saying, look, it's too expensive trying to take care of this big monster, you know. And that may not be the case for everyone, but a lot of people are starting to wise up. And they're starting to say, look, we don't need this much space. It costs a lot of money to run this place, to heat it, to cool it. And especially if your children have moved out, a lot of people are saying, look, I got to do something different than this. When you think about living to pay for a place to live, meaning you're working just to pay for it, it starts not to make any sense at all to you. And so I was very inspired to look at these young people, look at these so-called black people who are grabbing hold of the tiny home movement as a way to look at the future, as a way of surviving, where they don't have to look at homeless, the possibility of being homeless anymore. I think it's something to consider, family. It may have to grow on you, but I would encourage you to look at some of the videos of what people are doing out here, how they're making it work. Just kind of shift your thoughts around. I know we like to have big and bad homes and cars, but that kind of stuff is playing out. It really is playing out, and we need to start being more realistic, especially if you have children that are about to be empty, but you're about to be an empty nester and your children are leaving. You may want to give them this as an option. Show them the tiny homes and what they can do with them. Because when they get out here into the world and they start to pay high rents or high mortgages, they're going to feel like they're just throwing money down the drain. And if you can show them early on, hey, this may be an option for you. If you as a parent have land or space for them and they still want to feel like they've moved out on their own, let them park their home on your land, on your property. I've seen a number of situations just like that where a young couple, they want to buy a home. They can't afford it. They can't afford to buy land. So mom and dad say, hey, build your tiny home right here on our property. And they can stay there for many years while they're getting up on their feet, saving up their money. So if they want to do something different at some point, they can. And this affords them the opportunity to do that, because when you jump out into life incurring all these big bills, car note, house note, taxes, insurance, all of this stuff, it's like before you even get your life started, you're going into it in debt, especially if you already have college debt. You'll feel like you're just living just to pay your debt. And that's no way to live. That's no way to start your life. So again, family, I hope this encourages you to consider something such as tiny homes. Once you build it, it's yours. No one can take it away. There's no mortgage attached to it. It is yours. Even if it's parked on a temporary situation such as a lot or in someone's backyard, at least it's yours. If you have to take it elsewhere, you can. All righty, family, and with that, I will say shalom.
controversy.
The hood. Normally those guys don't get any support from their city. Normally they get chased around their city by the police officers and be made villainized. Just imagine if everybody from every city, every inner city that made it, imagine if the city council, the chamber of commerce, all these people build with these black men. And they actually teach them. They actually give them business plans. They actually set them down with the people at SCORE from the Chamber of Commerce. And they teach these guys and they write up business plans. They already got the money coming in there every month. And imagine if they don't take these guys' money and put it into different accounts that they don't know nothing about. Imagine if they let these guys and teach them how to put it into their community. Imagine instead of crying and throwing a fist up on TV, imagine if these same guys, if they was taught the right way, how to band together and not compete, and we build our communities that we want. We buy homes and build the communities that we want. We choose the police that we want. There'd be a lot of people out of a job, won't it? There'd be a lot of talking heads out of a job, won't it? See, it seems like an idiot little bus like me with a little small mind that didn't go to college seem like this should be easy. But they don't want to make it easy. I'm from a small town, and I know four or five football players right now in the NFL. And I know it's like pulling teeth for me to even say anything to anybody. All the politicians run from me in Brunswick. They'll go get guys from out of town. They'll go get lawyers that talk like this, and they go get mixed lawyers that sound like this and talk like this and go get these degrees and force you to listen to motherfuckers that got a piece of paper with no results. Black males, you got capital. You can't control the outcome, but you now can control the opportunity. That's only if we stick together. See, we got to get rid of bitch-ass niggas like Stephen A. Smith. We got to stop letting white ladies like the gatekeeper, Rachel Nichols. You talking about black men, woman? How many black women you see just going around talking about white men? They wouldn't allow that shit on TV. Tearing down affluent white men. They wouldn't allow it. Why do we allow everything to happen to us and then cry? Why? It doesn't make any sense. We have a lot of rich black men every city. Why the fuck are y'all still talking and crying and huddling up and shout? They got opportunity zones now in every motherfucking city. Go buy the building and make that city pay for your youth center. They keep you entertained with dumb shit. Stephen A., boy, you sat there. Look how many black men you tear down, boy. You really gonna purport yourself as the most smartest, intelligent, well-researched journalist in the fucking world. You were the mouthpiece of sports. Everybody went and took you for your word, because when you said you had a private source, people actually believed your bitch ass. You fucking with people mama's sons that's taking care of their family. Imagine how many black men you've destroyed, Stephen A. Imagine how many black men that still had little small issues as a consequence of being raised in the hood. And some of those issues are acted out. And then they pat you on your ass and send your loud mouth bitch ass to explain how detrimental this black man is to the world. And then you get them fired, bitch. Now, more black men without a job, more black men disgraced, more black children not going to school. You running your motherfucking mouth like you some type of savior important to the community. What the fuck have you built, sir? I create homes for single mothers that would not have these type of homes otherwise, Mr. Stephen A. I let them stay in houses that I can sell for $200,000-$300,000, and I'll let them rent it for their Section 8 money, Stephen A. I'm partnering with the Real Foundation, Stephen A., and we're going to give sober houses to women. And we're going to focus on women right now, and then we're going to get to the men. Because right now in America, when you get this thing called a felony, sometimes you can't even rent or buy a home. So what we're trying to do is mass-produce tiny homes, so we can give these people some sort of independence to start them off, sir. What the fuck are you doing, sir, besides running your goddamn mouth and tearing down black men with a mind like me that's trying to use their capital and their influence to help out for real instead of run your motherfucking mouth and peacock? And Jack, boy, you just expose yourself, boy. You just expose yourself for the vain, feminine male you are, boy. You really did. You talk to grown men like that. You talk to grown men like that. This is why we all have to stand up as individuals. I was talked about for 20 years. All of you thought I was a weakling, a little bus. And the moment I spoke, look at the mighty, these so-called experts, these so-called great men. Look how fast they ran from me. Look how fast they ran from the truth. Why you think they've been talking about me like that? Why you think they don't want to let little boys from the hood hear the real story from men like me? Almost every guy from the inner city, if they stop focusing on the one, two mistakes that they make, focus on, fuck focusing on how many points they score, focus on that they can change an entire generation of black kids from the community through their one example that you show of them. But no, you punk bitches in the media know that. That's why for the last 20 years, a black man better be motherfucking perfect. A black man better not cheat. A black man better not do a goddamn thing. But look at Bill Gates. You ain't say shit about Bill Gates. Y'all don't chase him around. And some of you women got to stop being complicit and telling every goddamn thing. Bitch, you know you a hoe and you slinging that pussy. Shut your goddamn mouth. This nigga's a great man. You slinging that pussy? Shut up. Ain't nobody force you in that goddamn room. If he did, call the police. But if not, shut your goddamn mouth. You tearing down black men that's building. Bill Gates got to build every goddamn computer he wanted to build and have a side bitch, and his white woman ain't say a motherfucking thing. And they got a nice little divorce that they're going to part ways, and they still fucking building. But see, when your focus ain't on building nothing, and your focus ain't on having nothing, you will attach yourself to somebody and tear them down faster than anything because you don't believe you are worth a goddamn. See, ain't long you fake motherfuckers can pretend. I don't want none of you women coming to talk to me. I'm not going to have no battle with no woman. Y'all been telling men what to do for long enough. I don't want no disrespect. I'm talking to the men. We've been being beat down long enough. The only women I want to talk to is the one that's that's trying to support, that can see these numbers and not get motherfucking sensitive, that can see black males are reading on a fourth grade reading level, and we got to do something about that other than stand in the motherfucking street and ask white people to do something when we claim they hate us. I want those women that understand that they have a duty, they have a responsibility, they can talk to me. Not you motherfuckers that stir up mischief. I want the women that want to be honest. Yeah, I may have kept my baby daddy away. I'm over that now. I understand the traumatizing effect that it do to this boy. He don't have an identity now. This little girl don't have love, so she's giving herself away. I understand what it do now. It ain't all on this man. He was just horny. He just wanted more than one woman. So I'm not going to punish my child because I can't get over the fact that he was a man. It's time out for that. We losing. Nobody even giving you the report card. Everybody acting like it's the go-along, get-along game because they showing you 1% of the motherfucking celebrities with jewels and shit and acting like they your fucking leader while you over here eating ramen motherfucking noodles. See, y'all never should have fucked with me. Because I was sitting back, and I was building slow. But now I think I'm going to be able to build a little faster. Because, see, when I get a platform, I'm going to take and give to the kids. And now that I'm 39, I got the mind to do it on my own and not be stolen from with some Judas motherfucker they put next to me. I don't want you next to me. See, Jack, you should have built with me, boy. You could have learned something from me. But, see, you want to have the look at me show. You want to believe in what the media say. The media always tear down the people that they're afraid of, dummy. They ain't afraid of you. Why you think they put you where you at, stupid? You get on TV, you don't say a motherfucking thing. You don't uplift nobody. You keep a persona on that's destroying the black male. You make black boys think they got to throw a football and dribble a ball and have a rag and a gun in their pocket at the same damn time, dummy. They ain't good enough to just be men. You the type of nigga that talk to a man like you know better. Who the fuck you think you is, nigga? I don't know shit. And no nigga tell me I know nothing, nigga. Don't drink the Kool-Aid, buddy. You niggas thought what you thought, and you was wrong. And you should have apologized like men. Let this be a lesson to you. When that up in smoke, when that podcast, all the smoke go up in smoke, let this be a lesson to you, nigga. Mama's cooking did that to you, nigga. Don't you ever talk about my mama's son like that, boy. Fuck wrong with you. Every man worth something, boy. You've been listening to them white boys a little bit too long. Fake-ass activists, and you come out talking to a black man like that on the motherfucking internet. When you ever heard Martin Luther King or Malcolm X or anybody talk to a man like the way you talk to me, bitch? And you think I'm supposed to give you respect? You talk to me like that? You made me seem like I was just running behind you like a puppy dog hanging with you, bitch? A man that been working since he was 14 taking care of his mama? Huh? You think I run behind niggas? That what you tried to make it seem like? Seem like you and Matt Barnes can't let go, nigga. Becky with the good hair. Fuck you talking about. You make me seem like I'm running behind you, nigga. A man that had a better life than you. You talking about a ring you won, nigga. You talking about a basketball career, nigga. I'm talking about real life, nigga. I ain't in all the shit you in, nigga. I stand alone. I'm a man. I can go eat a tomato off some shit I grew, punk. Fuck you talking about. You just running your mouth, nigga. You don't got no real identity. You just talking. You think them pretty cars and pretty shoes validate you, nigga. Because you're a stupid motherfucker. It's just I'm not stupid. I got a little bit of seasoning, boy. And Stephen A., that's a goddamn shame, boy. You did all that motherfucking talking and not a cat got your tongue. Sitting here running your mouth for 20 years when somebody don't have a voice because MJ had your back, huh, bitch? You going golfing with the nigga so you protect all the secrets. You, Mike Wilbon, all you punk-ass media bitches that suck up to all these goddamn athletes that they can't do nothing wrong. They can't say nothing wrong because you want to make them motherfuckers look like a messiah to regular people when the regular people that go through the most shit got the best ideals, you dumb motherfucker. That's why I don't hang with you motherfuckers. Y'all go around these goddamn white folks and sip the Kool-Aid, the wrong type of white folk. The white folks that'll hold you accountable but give you a helping hand, but what you do with it is what you do with it. They racist, huh? Stupid motherfucker don't want no accountability. You motherfuckers want to talk. You let this bitch at Stephen A., you bitch. You broke the door open to talk and disrespect black men like this, bitch. You've been disrespecting baseball, football, boxers. Where did you come from, boy? I told my brother last night, we need to catch that toupee way back here and peel that shit back and see that white man jump out of you, bitch. I believe it's a bald-head white man inside of you, boy. Because you ain't build nothing with black men. We need to check. Q-Dawgs, I love the Q-Dawgs. I donate to y'all. I used to donate to y'all every year. But y'all need to check this bitch. This nigga in a brotherhood tearing down brothers. Y'all need to do the Q-Dawgs stomp on this bitch-ass nigga. Fuck you talking about. This nigga talking about black women's sons like that. Kevin Durant is a motherfucking legend. Kevin Durant is going to be a Hall of Famer. This bitch-ass nigga want to go in the Hall of Fame for a rant that he made on an 18-year-old that was making more money and better than his dumb ass. Y'all let this shit happen. Y'all let this fake-ass feminine talking imposter in the hen house. Now this nigga checking all the goddamn alpha males that got testosterone. This bitch-ass nigga can use his mouth and protect them and then be able to call the goddamn police if he get his fucking toupee slapped off. Y'all have made alpha man weak by this bitch-ass nigga. They put weak beta male niggas like that in place to tear down the alphas. Imagine Kevin Durant having to listen to a bitch like that if they was two men in one room by themselves. Imagine Kevin Durant listening to a punk bitch like that that swung like that on the look when he was boxing. Imagine that. Imagine this some bitch talking to me like that. Shit, I could have whooped his ass at six. Imagine him talking to me like that at six. I would have slapped the shit out of him if it wasn't no consequence from it. It's a goddamn shame what we done did in this world. We want to attack masculinity so much that we put these bitch-ass niggas that do all this motherfucking talking and peacocking and build nothing. They don't teach young boys how to get to their center. Focus on you. Stop snickering and kickling so much, boy, and pointing at somebody else's shortcomings because you got your own. But see, I'm just one man. I can't teach you everything. I'm going to have so many motherfuckers coming at me in a second. We got to band together. It can't just be one man. Y'all so focused on getting a leader that you don't understand you got to lead yourself. If we all leaders of oneself, and then when we see bullshit, we don't have to grovel down. We all band together. We all worth something. Can't come to the goddamn table with just a napkin and a fork. We all got to have something. You don't need no motherfucking leader. These leaders are leading your motherfucking ass astray. You think these motherfuckers don't see that these niggas have a voice and then they come to them, the motherfuckers you like, they come to them with a couple $100, $100,000, million, and give these bitch-ass niggas some hush money, some do-the-right-thing money, some behavioral money, and then they start talking like Jack. They start standing in front of cars like Jack. Jack, you damn near got better cars now than you had when you were playing, boy. I wonder how that is. I wonder how many black men back you had to stand on to get that. Why you talking like that, boy? See, you with that boys club. Man, I know. Yeah, that's why you talk like that. But that's okay, though. That's okay, though. And Becky with the good hair, I hope you learned your lesson, boy. You need to shut your goddamn mouth. You ain't a man amongst men. I don't want to hear shit else from you. You can pass out weed. I heard Yuck Mouth say it on a podcast. You cool because you showed up and passed out weed. See, that's what I'm talking about. We got to get stupid-ass niggas like you out of our culture. That don't mean you cool, bitch. You should have been passing out book bags, you dumb motherfucker. You should have been passing out some hope to these children. But no, what you want to spread the fuck around is that you some type of tough nigga because your emotional ass had to jump your motherfucking gate, bitch. That means you wasn't welcome there. You one of them sadistic, suicidal, crazy some bitches. How the fuck you got to jump the gate at your own house, bitch? You a goddamn shame. Not only was a nigga in your house, you got to jump your own goddamn gate? Damn, you ain't welcome, boy. Just like you ain't welcome in none of these real man conversations. So shut your goddamn mouth, bitch. Mama's cooking. Oh, yeah. Disclaimer. We just joking. Remember that, Jack. Remember that now. We just joking. Yeah, we just joking. I'm just a little bit better joker than you. I ain't the joker. You fuck up with the wrong one. Ooh, you wanted to joke, right? You kept joking till the joke was on you. Well, I told you what was going to happen, boy. You believe me now? Give me a hug. One of y'all give me a hug. If we're joking, give me a hug. Come on. Bitch ass nigga. I told you what was going to happen. You believe me now, though, right? I said you were going to hit that quicksand. And I said once it grabbed a hold of your ass, what was going to happen then? See, stupid ass nigga like you ain't believe me. See, you so used to the group protecting your bitch ass, Jack. You so used to groups. You know, it's safety in numbers, ain't it? You probably go out with 150-11 niggas joking on a man gonna be in with security to protect the bag. I guess I'll probably be a renegade like you, huh? Get ran over and kicked in the mouth so I need my whole fucking mouth changed, huh? Stupid son bitch. You real. Fuck out of here, boy. I told you, I ain't been cute this long to be a dumbass. Fuck you mean. You can go try to find any street store you want to hear, bitch. I can't fight 50 niggas. No. Ain't no one man come up me and do a goddamn thing. Wait, I'm wrong. In D.C., it's a nigga caught me at, I said this story already. Nigga caught me at that gas station right before I go on BWI Parkway. Boy, that nigga had a pistol so big on it. I said, God damn. Hey, nigga, I got $600 on me. Take this shit. Boy, don't do it. That nigga said, hey, oh, Big Young. He said, you Kwame Brown? That nigga stood guard. See, that's what happened when you a real man, boy. I ain't act tough. I ain't do all that. I ain't have no pistol, nigga. It was D.C. That's why I had the police with me in L.A., bitch. So that nigga pull out that long-ass gun. I said, oh, shit. Boy, I said, oh, hell, the only thing I can think of is give this nigga the money. That nigga say, nah, dog, you Kwame Brown, goddamn it. Big Young, I got your back. He say, look, this is the wrong neighborhood. And I respect that nigga. He say, hey, I'm going to stand right here and make sure nobody else don't fuck with you. I was in a white 600 Benz that they let me drive as a little car deal. I pulled off the goddamn side of the road. I was going to pick up my mama, nigga, because my mama was going to come give me some of that mama's cooking, nigga. My mama cooking. I was going to BWI Airport. And that some bitch caught me, boy. I said, I thought it was over. I said, oh, Lord, that nigga stood guard like a real D.C. true, a real one. Ain't no need to put this nigga in this street shit. This nigga was gonna already give me $600. That nigga let me keep my $600 and stood there with that goddamn gun on his side, made sure I got on the highway. Salute to that nigga, because I ain't got nothing to do with the street. And you could have had the $600. I offered the nigga the $600. That nigga said, no, you a real one, young. You inspire the kids. Only if you would have saw that bitch-ass Jack. Nigga's bigger than goddamn being the number one pick and letting white folks talk about you, punk. But it's okay, though. You don't know nothing, nigga. You ain't connected to nothing. You want to be connected to gangbanging. That nigga would have rocked your ass, boy. Boy, he probably would have got you just because the way you run your goddamn mouth. He probably would have got you. If you ain't had your big homie with you, he probably would have slapped your ass a few times like them niggas did in Indiana, acting tough, punk. Fuck you mean, nigga. But anywho, I learned not to go back over there. I learned this world is about respect, punk. You can happen to anybody at any time. Fuck you mean. So if you think I'm going to go to a city that don't allow people to carry guns and don't have a motherfucker that can with me, as much as I can, I will. Fuck you mean. You acting like that mean I'm the police or something. Bitch, ain't nobody go to jail. I told the young man, hey, I'm not one of them people. You're not going to do me like that, you know. I'm with some people, so go on about your business. You know, that was your choice. You think I'm just supposed to get extorted like you, bitch? You mad at me for paying security one time, and I'm mad at you for paying your big homie all the time, because that money could go to your kids, punk. Fuck you talking about acting like you a real nigga because you got to pay dude. Yeah, it's a price you going to pay for not going out in these streets and gangbanging and paying dues. If you saying you down, punk, you going to pay, and you know it. Fuck you mean. You ain't gonna trick me with that fake ass talk, nigga. I told you, I'm a man, boy. Hell you mean. But anywho, bitch ass Steven Jackson. Not Steven Jackson, not you this time. Bitch ass Stephen A. And goddamn Rachel Nichols. Black women, it's time for y'all to activate on these white ladies that just keep wanting to bash your black men. We need a sector of black women. Not you angry ones that's always mad at everybody. We need the positive ones, the ones that understand that this is a bigger picture now because you got sons that's coming up. The ones that understand that, you guys need to shut them bitches' mouth. And I'm saying bitches for y'all, okay? Y'all need to shut them hoes up. They don't need to be speaking on your black men. How would y'all feel if we just start letting a bunch of white women talk about y'all? Y'all got it good where nobody can't talk about y'all. Start using that power y'all got that nobody can talk about your kings. Because right now they're using y'all against us. But I hope I can bring some awareness to y'all that y'all can use that mouthpiece to tear their ass up. Stop letting them talk about your black boys and your black men in that light. Don't wait till somebody gets shot to open your goddamn mouth. Start opening your mouth about the reading levels right now. Start opening your mouth about the depiction of these black boys as soon as they get in trouble. White boy raped somebody by the trash can, sexually assault somebody by the trash can while she was passed out drunk. He get probation. Don't even go to jail. A black male, some woman grabbing his case, pushing him down, and he get his shit back. Don't hit nobody. Nobody clothes come off, and you motherfuckers try to destroy him. You want to hit the cancel button on every black man. You ain't say shit about that white boy that got probation. He ain't say shit about that white boy from the Eagles or Seahawks that stumped the shit out that black woman, allegedly. So which one is it? Is it the white people I should fear? Or is it my own kind doing all the destroying here? Which one is it? Which one is it now? Who killing us the most? Look at the numbers. Which one is it now? Who not being responsible for making sure their kids read the most? Which one is it now? Huh? Time out for all that shit, Jack, and all you people that's collecting checks off the destruction of the minds of blacks because they can't think, because you guys been feeding them some bullshit porridge that they can't do it. Well, you a motherfucking lie, because I'm living proof that they can do it. And if you, bitch-ass Stephen A., would have kept your motherfucking mouth up off of me, and you, Rachel Nichols, when you motherfucking interviewed me, instead of you, you little white woman, instead of you doing that, you know what you should have did? You know my history. You know my story. You should have fucking told about that. You should have told how I got to where I got to, bitch, boy, woman. Because you done pissed me off. And see, I don't want everybody jumping on me for calling a woman a bee. But shit, sometimes it just jump out. Because you was wrong. You was wrong. All y'all want a sense of men. All y'all want a sense of men, tell men what to do, and make sure y'all beat us down while y'all be the most foul, nasty, vicious some bitches. It's time out for that. I'm going to call you motherfuckers out. You motherfuckers want to be all these TV politicians. I understand. When you saying a real message, ain't no such thing as a TV politician. I'm going to stay the fuck away from you. Yeah. But look here. I'm about to goddamn go get my tractor because I got to get the fuck home, okay? But I hope y'all leave me alone. All the people that's going to use a smear campaign to fuck with me, it ain't about me. We got story after story after story that all y'all do is run black male problems. Black male. Y'all care so much about where a black male sticking his penis. Y'all.
It's Tiny House Tuesday, something that we're starting new on Tuesdays, every Tuesday. And I played some early audios, but I had to put in a trending topic that of Kwame Brown. Kwame Brown, to my knowledge, is the first and only high school draft pick, number one draft pick, that is, to enter into the NBA, had an NBA career, came in as a teenager, and was basically roasted by sportscasters his whole career. But now that he's retired, he's got his money, he bit his tongue, now the rabbit has the gun. And one of the people that he has roasted is Stephen A. Smith, and I think Stephen A. Smith deserves roasting. As well as, well, Charlamagne the God apologized. But anyway, so we're giving him a little spotlight here, Kwame Brown.
Kwame Brown calls for Stephen A. Smith to be removed from sports commentary.
Boy, some of you girls don't know how easy you got it. You motherfucker just fumble the ball trying to show everybody else you a bad bitch. I'm a bad bitch. I'll be like, God, that motherfucker got 19 bags. Man, I've been taking all the motherfuckers back. I've been walking around. What's the cheapest bag you can walk around with? I had the cheapest bag you could walk around with, but whoever that is buying y'all all that, boy, I'd have bought up the whole South. You know how many houses you could buy in the South for what some of you motherfuckers paying for them bags, and you motherfuckers got the nerve to talk about black
don't have no wealth. Man, I ought to DDT one of you motherfuckers. Oh, shit. Hey, yeah, hey, look, I've been sitting back looking at this shit on the news. I just be laughing. I be like, we just don't get it. We just don't get it. We'll make everybody rich, but somebody black. Master P make a shoe, you turn your head. Nike make a shoe, you each other over. But then get mad, talking about black don't got no money. We it's a disproportionate of wealth. Motherfucker, our money stay in our hood 6 hours. Get a black anything, you ain't gonna support it.
I ain't getting that no money. You mean he already got rims and shit.
That's how we look at each other. You know it and I know it, so stop that shit. The motherfucker mad at me because people sending me super chat. And I'm taking the super chat money, ordering shoes off eBay for these kids down in Brunswick. So damn, my that's how much you think about a black man. You don't want a black man to have nothing. They're going to catch you in traffic. It's sad. It's sad, bro. I have never hurt a man in my life, black or white. I have never started an argument with a man in my whole life. What is the point? You can lose your life like that. And we got to run around starting arguments every goddamn day. I don't understand. I opened up a restaurant in Savannah. Now, you would be imagine how many times I done heard, man, that used to be in the NBA. Who was that, man? I ain't eating that. And they go right round the corner and order Chinese food. So when you in the real world and you get to see how we do each other, and then when I see what you're saying on the news, I know you a motherfucking lie. I know you a motherfucking lie. I might be a... You don't know it yet. You can tell by Kwame, you a... You ain't got your face up there. You a... At least you see me. It's sad, man. It's sad what we did to a generation of males. Everybody got to be a gangster. Everybody got to be tough. I'm just trying to get home to my family. I done been beat up before. If you would have beat me up like a man, sir, even after talking to all that shit, I would have shook your hand like a man, and we could have had a motherfucker beer. I done been beat up before, but you can go home to your mama's cooking, and I can go home to mine. But see, we scared of that. We want to just kill somebody. It don't make no goddamn sense. Do you know it'll never be over if that what you saying to happen? Do you know how many lives would be affected by if you or somebody catch me in traffic and something happened to that boy in there? Do you know what would happen then? You ever heard that song? And it won't stop. You ever heard that? And that's how we always get in trouble. We say things with our mouth. We manifest with our mouth. What is wrong with you? I ain't never talked to you like that. You got something deep down rooted in you, boy. You must be mad you wasn't a higher pick. I ain't mad about nothing. You mad about something. You want me to feel bad. The way that shit I listen to, I'm like, damn, this is really give a damn. I was talking about your character and how you was moving in the streets. And that was years ago. And I see now you still moving stupid. Still thinking you tough, referencing street. Like, that don't even make no sense. You always got to bring up the group. That situation had nothing to do with me and you. And that brother, nothing happened. You think I'm finna let a nigga chase me out my shoes? Like they were doing all them other niggas? All I said was I'm a grown man. I'm sorry that offend you. I want to walk around like the white. I'm sorry that offend you too. Because ain't none of you
You was chasing them white out their shoes. So you're ignorant. You bring up a that was taken from and you think that's cool. Because you a stupid. You ain't take a motherfucking thing from Kid Rock. You ain't take a motherfucking thing from Eminem. You always want to harm, harass, and hurt. Especially that ain't with nobody. It don't make no sense, my. I don't never want to fuck with nobody. Why? I know better. I know the repercussions after somebody get hurt, for real. You just stupid. Everybody talk till one person get hurt. Everybody talk like that until one person get hurt. And it is hard to tell somebody to stop after you hurt somebody they love. It's very hard to do that. That's why I watch my mother mouth, you. And that's why I tell you to watch your goddamn mouth. But no, you can't seem to do that. You can't seem to be an example for these boys. You got to play tough for the internet. I ain't never played tough in my life. People thought I was the best in the world. And I didn't give a fuck. That's true strength. That's true manhood. Why do you got to know what I am? When somebody know what you are, that's more ways they can get at you. I'm actually more afraid now than people actually know I will defend myself. Because of this Charlamagne and all you motherfuckers doing this dumb shit. I don't walk around here like I'm some ill gorilla. No, I'm just a man. I smoke hookah and chill just like everybody else. So, that's a shame. I don't want to walk around this world looking over my shoulder, looking in traffic. That's so dumb. Because you motherfuckers couldn't respect me, so I disrespected y'all. And Maddie, boy, I'm going to still disrespect you. But maybe you hide in groups too. I don't know.
Be sure to like, comment, and subscribe.
Because see, now my brother heard what you said. Now my cousins heard what you said. Now everybody heard what you said. Everybody saw what you said. Perfect. You don't even know me. That's a shame. The way you talk about a man, you don't even know. You don't know nothing about me. And you talk like you above me. Already, because you call yourself something. And that's how people get hurt. That's exactly how people get hurt. But see, you were smart. You set up a framework. And I'm pretty sure you got a lot of buddies. That if something ever happened, they'll probably help you. But I suggest, Jack, that me and you leave this situation alone. Because you're going to have a lot of people trying to put a battery in your back. Because you like to hide in groups. And I think we should leave it alone. That's what I think. So I strongly suggest you leave it alone, too.
And for all you clowns that's still trying to egg the beef on after me and Kwame and squashed it and spoke, it says a lot about y'all. But y'all the same ones with fake pages. Y'all the same ones that wouldn't bust a grape or wouldn't say nothing to neither one of us. But y'all expect us to play ourselves off the street or play myself off my position for y'all. That's what's wrong with this world. That's why it's so hard to be equality. That's why it's so hard to get things done. Because it's people like y'all. Misery love company, but you're not going to get it. Let it go. Get a life. It's dead. We squashed it. Find you something else to do. Go get you some money or something. You did. It ain't going to work.
But Becky with the good hair? If you knew me, Becky, I don't think you would have said that to me. But see, what happened was, I think because I've been quiet for so long, you just thought that I was going to do what I normally do and just stay quiet. But this time, it was just so blatantly disrespectful. I done seen Tracy McGrady disrespect me in an interview. I done seen all these people be disrespectful. And the whole time I'm like, I get it. It's the narrative that they've been given. So I let it slide. But this one was a little too far. But it's okay. I hope we can all stop playing tough. I'm 39 years old. I ain't jump up and down on top of nobody like a trampoline in years. And hopefully I don't have to. I want to live my life in peace. I want to live my life to see that boy grow up in there. I don't have ego. I got a son in there that I'm trying to do for him that my daddy didn't do for me. So, sorry that bothers y'all. So I'm going to go back being a good father, a bad motherfucker, and a country son. Hopefully y'all okay with that. But I ain't going nowhere, though. I'm on you media motherfuckers' ass. Because y'all are the ones that allowed this. Y'all are the ones that started this. Stephen A., you spearheaded this disrespect for black. And we going to kick your drawers in your ass. Figuratively, not literally. Nonviolent. Slap in. But we going to get you up out that seat. Because everybody see you, puppet. Everybody see your little bald haircut. So well, nobody want to hear you speak with so much conviction no more about nobody game. Nobody want to see you for doing that. Go back and learn data, stats, and analytics. And I want you there with a piece of paper, you little And I want you to have a stat sheet. And I want you to watch every goddamn screen. And I want you to talk about the bigs that get the shooters open. And I want you to watch your goddamn mouth. Because if you don't, not just me, we all on your You will never tell somebody again that they should, that you wouldn't even trade them for a box of cereal. Ain't that what you told Andrew Wiggins, you little son of a Didn't you say you wouldn't trade that boy for a box or like a box of cereal? Do you know how fucking disrespectful that is coming from a son of a like you that ain't never did a motherfucking thing in his real life? What have you done to talk so arrogant, you little stupid son of a You got your coach fired in college. What did you do? The nigga you talk about the most made you the most money. I'm still better than you. You made your most money talking about me. I started your career. And the fucked up thing is, I'm probably going to be the one to end it. Mama cooking.
No, but I know a little.
Kwame Brown been on the internet, motherfucker, giving it to niggas, man. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just saying, like, I don't know about all the niggas he's talking about. They told me a little something about it. But Stephen A. Smith did. You made a living off talking about black people, and that's the truth. You shitted all over black people, and ESPN rewarded you financially for it.
He said he bullied, Stephen A. Smith bullied him when he was a teenager.
Oh, man.
Bullied who?
That guy.
He bullied who?
He bullied Kwame. I can't see Stephen A. Smith bullying the fuck thing.
How did he bully you? Oh, he's talking about when he was talking about him.
Yeah, that's how he
using his platform, though.
Stephen A. Smith
used his platform to talk shit about black people, and ESPN rewarded him for that. That's what happens with all of these motherfucking Walt Disney motherfucking productions. If you know anything about Walt Disney, do your research, Walt Disney was a bigot.
Facts. Talk that shit.
So all these Walt Disney-based-ass motherfucking platforms like ESPN reward black men who will talk bad about black men.
You better say it.
Tariq Nasheed did something about this. It's a form of buck breaking like Tariq Nasheed be talking about.
Lead attorney here. Hope you guys are doing well. Charlemagne the God. How do y'all name this dude like this? Charlemagne the God, all right? He has sent a cease and desist letter. Cease and desist letter to Kwame Brown. Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, Charlemagne is running to the attorneys now. Things are getting serious now. Things are getting hot. He's got his team of attorneys involved. Now, what did the letter say? What did the cease and desist letter say? I'm going to tell you what it said, guys. I'm going to tell you what it said. Now, how do I know? Listen, I am the lead attorney. I've been practicing 20 years. All of these cease and desist letters say the same thing. I have drafted numerous cease and desist letters. I have received numerous cease and desist letters. They're all the same. They're all pretty much standard, all uniform. Just like they say, there's nothing new under the sun. I am sure that he got one of these run-of-the-mill cease and desist letters. Now, even though they're run-of-the-mill, even though they're uniform, doesn't mean that they're a toy. Doesn't mean that you can disregard them. You can throw it away. No, 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 no. These things are powerful. So we're going to talk about it. I'm going to tell you what's in the cease and desist letter. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen if Kwame Brown does not take it seriously. And we're going to talk all about it. By the end of this video, you guys are going to be put on game about what Kwame Brown was put on game about. Because listen, he took that letter to someone. And there was a video after he got the letter. He did another video. And he changed it up. He changed it up. He was still coming with heat. In a lot of ways, it was even worse. But he changed it up. He took this letter seriously. And I'm going to tell you why. Now, what did the letter say? It said, listen, and it's coming from an attorney, all right? A lot of you guys had a lot of questions, and you're asking me, tell us about the cease and desist letter. How does it work? This is what it is. Cease and desist letters, they do not come from judges. They come from attorneys' offices. And I assure you that Charlemagne the God has his attorneys on standby for this. So he goes and talks to him. He says, listen, this is what this man is doing to me. He is killing me. He is dragging me all on YouTube, all on social media. I have to get him to shut up. His attorneys say, no problem. Listen, this is what we'll do. We'll shut him up. You just leave it to us. So they sit down and they draft a letter. What does the letter say? It says, Mr. Kwame Brown, we have been retained by Mr. I'm not going to call this dude Mr. God, all right? He's Charlemagne the God, but does anybody know this dude's real name? I see some people in the comments are like, how did he get the name God? And I wonder it too. I'm not going to call him Mr. God. We're going to call him Cease and Desist Charlemagne, okay? We represent Mr. Cease and Desist Charlemagne. It has come to our attention that you have made videos defaming Mr. Cease and Desist Charlemagne all on social media. They're going to say that we have the evidence. We have reviewed the videos. We are preserving these videos as evidence. Now guys, let's take a step back. What video are we talking about here, guys? You know your boy Kwame Brown made a video and it was bad. It was bad. It was bad. And he was calling Charlemagne the God all types of things. One of the things that he called him, though, you know what it was, right? It starts with an R, right? Well, we'll call it a violator because I can't really use the word, all right? So he called him a violator numerous times. He called this man a violator on that video. Now, what he's not doing it just to be doing it, all right? Everybody knows and everybody's seen over these past few weeks that this man, Kwame Brown, does not just go for people's necks randomly. All right, he's actually the victim in all of this. He's actually the butt of people's jokes. You guys will remember that Charlemagne got on the radio in public, all right? He got on his show, The Breakfast Club, that show that you guys have up north. Right? I'm from Atlanta. People down here in Atlanta, we do not understand how you guys have Charlemagne the God still on the air. Like, no one in Atlanta, no one from Atlanta listens to The Breakfast Club. We have our own radio show, all right? It's V103, and we've been rocking with it for 30 years, all right? The things that this man has done, we do not understand here in the South how he is still on the air. But regardless, all right, he's on the air, and he starts talking about Kwame Brown's family, all right? He starts talking about his father. What his father did to a woman with an axe handle, all right? He starts talking about a brother. He starts talking about another brother. He starts talking about the man's sister, how Charlemagne the God went to high school with the man's sister. I mean, what he's basically doing is airing dirty laundry, right? He's airing the dirty laundry of this man's family, unprovoked. All right, Kwame Brown did not say anything about Charlemagne's mom or dad or family or anything. This is Charlemagne the God coming out of his own head. In public, besmirching this man's family. I mean, he's basically calling the entire family violent. He's basically trying to paint this picture of the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. He keeps saying, leave Kwame alone. Look at his father. Look at what his father did. Look at his brother. Look at what his brother did. Look at his other brother. Look at what he did, right? Now you have Kwame. They're all part of the same family. They're all cut from the same cloth. Now, of course, Kwame did not take that well at all. Turns out that Kwame does not have a relationship with a large part of his family. Some of the brothers he doesn't have any relationship with, he never met, and he didn't have a close relationship with that father. So for him to be lumped in with all these other men and his character to be defined by the actions of other men, oh, Kwame did not take that lightly. So when this got back to Kwame, Kwame responded, guys, and it was bad. All right, it was really, really bad. And he came in hot because we know how Kwame is. And listen, we are all rooting for Kwame. All of us. Let me take that back because in my comments, there are a few people that are still riding somehow for Charlemagne the God, right? Somehow he's still got his supporters, but fine. Kwame Brown responds in a video and he came in hot, but it was too hot, guys. It was too hot. He crossed the line. What did he do? Well, he called him numerous times, by the way, he called this man a violator. Now, what's the problem with that? The problem was he was referring to an incident that happened years ago between Charlemagne the God and a 15-year-old, right? A 15-year-old. But the authorities got involved in that incident, and he actually pled guilty to it. But he didn't plead guilty to violating. He pled guilty to delinquency of a minor, which is a totally different thing. So when he called this man a violator, he actually stated a fact that was not true. And being called that, especially now in 2021, is one of the worst things that anyone can call you. So what we're saying is our man Kwame, he got a little bit too hot. Now, Charlemagne goes to his attorneys, and what do they say? They drafted the letter. What does the letter say? It says, listen, Mr. Brown, you made a claim. In your video, you claimed that Mr. Cease and Desist Charlemagne was a violator. Your claim is patently false. Cease and Desist Charlemagne has never been a violator. He wasn't convicted of being a violator. You have no firsthand knowledge of him being a violator. The claim that you made was false. Worse yet, you made it to the public. You got on your phone and you made this video and you uploaded it to YouTube. YouTube is a platform that reaches worldwide. So you published this false claim to the entire world. Now, the claim that you made, you did it with malicious intent. And guys, listen, to take a step back, if you saw that video, there is no doubt in your mind, boy, he had a malicious heart when he was saying this stuff. Now, he was angry. And he had a right to be. Let's be honest. This was unprovoked, guys. This was unprovoked. But the way he responded was from the heart, all right? He was not letting off the gas. And so the attorneys are going to claim, especially with the language that he was using and some of the words that he was saying, that this was definitely with a malicious intent. And finally, they're going to say in the letter that it damaged his reputation. The video, the remarks, the false remarks of him being a violator damaged cease and desist Charlemagne's reputation. Now, this is not a stretch, guys, because to be called something like that should absolutely damage your reputation, especially if you are in the public eye. So they have a strong claim. They can absolutely file a defamation action. Now, let's take a step back, because a lot of you guys had questions on what defamation is. You know, is this something serious? Absolutely, guys. Defamation is not a game. You know, we see Cardi B. She's going to be sued by Candace Owen for libel. They were going back and forth about some Facebook posts or some tweets or something like that. And Candace is going to sue that lady, absolutely. We got Fox News. Fox News, guys, they are in a slander. They are in a slander defamation suit for $1.6 billion. So the stakes can be completely high, no matter if it's a libel suit like the Candace Owen, Cardi B suit, or if it's a slander suit like the Fox News suit. Now, what's the difference? What is the difference between slander and libel? Basically, there are two forms of defamation. Slander is when the defamatory remarks are spoken, when they're verbal, and libel is when they are written. That's the only difference, just the manner in which the defamatory marks are published. So the attorneys for cease and desist Charlemagne, they are going to say that Kwame Brown has slandered. It's not libel. It's slander. He has slandered cease and desist Charlemagne's name. Now, guys, here's the important part in the letter. Here's the important part of the letter. What are they asking for? What are they asking for in the letter? This is what they're asking for, guys. Number one, shut up. That's the very first thing they want. And really the biggest thing, they want Kwame Brown to shut up. Now, why? Why? Why do they want him to shut up? Because not only is he saying things that are at least legally inaccurate, but he is really dragging. He is really dragging cease and desist Charlemagne through the mud on this one. It's really damaging his reputation. And to be honest, it should damage his reputation. He did some bad things that are unacceptable. But the problem is he doesn't want Kwame Brown to talk about it. See, he's cease and desist Charlemagne. He's talked about these incidents before, right? But he's only given his version. And he wants to give his version, have everybody accept it, and then everybody quiet. You guys have to remember that this man is just a DJ, right? They can put any man in this man's seat in the Breakfast Club, and where's the big difference? I mean, you guys tell me, right? You know, again, I'm from Atlanta, so I don't know about y'all's Breakfast Club, but is this man doing anything spectacular at his job? Is this man doing something that another black man could not do? I mean, you tell me, is he on the ones and twos? I don't know exactly what this man's job description is, but it seems to me that the biggest thing that he has going for him is his reputation and his fame. All right, and if someone like Kwame Brown is on YouTube with a smaller audience but a hyped up audience, and Kwame Brown is saying some of these things, it will absolutely damage the reputation of cease and desist Charlemagne. It will absolutely damage his fame, and that's all he's got. So in the letter, the first thing that they want him to do, the first thing that Charlemagne the God's attorneys want Kwame Brown to do is shut up. Just shut up. Now, what's the second thing? What's the second thing that they wanted? They wanted him to retract the statements. He said, listen, the statements aren't true. Retract them. And you know what? You know what, guys? Listen, and this is how you know that this cease and desist letter is serious. Because when Kwame Brown got the letter, you know what he did? He did a new video and he retracted the statements. He absolutely did. He clarified the statement and related to that. What's the third thing that they might have wanted? An apology. You see this a lot, especially when you're dealing with people in the limelight, people who are public figures. They want an apology. They want a public apology. Well, in that response video that Kwame Brown did, he apologized. But guys, did you see the way that apology went down? The apology was worse than the initial video. I mean, it was, he tore that man up. Kwame Brown tore Charlemagne the God up in that response video. To me, it made it so much worse. It made it so much worse. What he did was, because again, he took this serious. He called his attorney or he sent him the PDF. He scanned it to him because you can tell someone put this man on game because he did the response video. He retracted his statements. He apologized for it. But you know what he did? Someone sent him the accusation. Someone said, listen, you cannot say that this man is a violator because that is not what he pled guilty to. That's not what he was convicted of. Fair enough. But here's what you can do. You can read the accusation. You can read the accusation that was filed in the case. And guys, the accusation is so bad. It is so bad. Guys, what did the accusation say, right? And I'm assuming it's the accusation. It could be an indictment. The name of the document will depend on the jurisdiction, right? But let's just call it an accusation. The accusation from the district attorney's office. And again, it could have been an indictment. Let's call it the charging document. What did the charging document say? What was he being charged with, guys? Charlemagne. And this was the response video that Charlemagne the God's attorneys did not expect. They did not expect him to have the charging documents there. So Kwame Brown actually one up Charlemagne the God's attorneys. So guys, what did the charging document say? It said that cease and desist Charlemagne was accused of felonious engagement in penile vaginal intercourse with a 15-year-old child. That's what the charging document said. That, to me, I was like, man, how is this guy still on the radio? You know, you hear him tell his version, and he's like, oh, you know, I owned the house, and, you know, people were there, and they were drinking, and I didn't, you know, I was in the backyard, right? But then you see what he was actually charged with, and you're like, hold up, right? And then why didn't the case go forward? Why didn't he go to trial? Well, the 15-year-old girl, the mother did not want her to testify. Now, this could be for a number of reasons, but we have to remember, guys, that some of the things that can happen between a man and a woman can be extremely traumatic. And when they happen, at that point, is a trauma. But let me assure you that when you have to testify to that thing, when you have to testify to that event, it's absolutely a second trauma, because it's not like you're telling your story there on Oprah with someone who's going to hold your hand and listen to you. No, you are telling your story on the witness stand. As a child, a 15-year-old child, you are telling your story.
Now, I've been called a lot in my 23 years, but donkey of the day is a new one.
Mm. Donkey of the day for Monday, May 24th goes to me. Lenard McKelvey, contrary to popular belief, this is not the first time I've given myself Donkey of the Day, because Donkey of the Day does not discriminate. I mean, I may be kind of biased towards certain people, but I don't have any bias when it comes to myself. If I'm wrong, if something I do or say doesn't sit right with my spirit, I have to apologize and do better moving forward, and that's what I'm about to do right now. I want to apologize to Kwame Brown and Kwame Brown's family. I want to apologize to his father, Bill Brown, and the family of his father. See, last week on this radio, in my attempt to defend a Charleston, South Carolina-born brother like myself, I revealed too much information about that man's family. And even though all that stuff is public record, some things just don't need to be said on the radio, and they definitely don't need to be said by me. When I look back, you know, on the way I communicated that, I communicated it all wrong. And I unintentionally triggered trauma in a lot of folks I grew up with, who I genuinely love. I'm sure I caused a lot of pain for not only Kwame Brown, but for his family, especially his family in my hometown of Monk's Corner, South Carolina. You know how I know? Because I spoke to a few of them. I've been on the phone this weekend with mothers of children and their children. Salute to Shaliba and her daughter, Brianda. I was on the phone with sisters like Wallet. Salute to Wallet. Oh, she cursed me out good. And, you know, I was apologizing for triggering them, causing them pain, because I was casually discussing their family's trauma, man. And that's something that I have to stop doing. That's something that we all have to stop doing. I was talking to my sacred purpose coach, Yadi Alba, this weekend. She's like a spiritual therapist. I have her and my clinical therapist, and that's what we were talking about, how we casually discuss each other's traumas. I didn't even think about when I spoke on, you know, Kwame and his family, how many people were impacted by those things I was speaking on. I mean, that's generational. Okay, I caused pain and unintentionally poked at people's wounds. Okay, wounds that will probably never heal. And I can't take back those words, but I can't apologize. You know, I think oftentimes we, meaning black people, we fight each other with our demons, whether true or false, whatever is the worst thing we know about a person or think we know about a person, we default to that, and that was not my intention. I was not in any way, shape, or form trying to paint Kwame in a negative light. Okay, that black man is not my op. He wasn't my op when I said it. In my mind, I'm defending that man, but I should have been defending him as Lenard Charlemagne the God McKelvey, the professional, and not Lenard Larry, whatever you want to call me, from Monk's Corner, South Carolina, talking like I'm home in the town on why I believe they need to leave Kwame Brown alone. That was whack, because the conversation didn't even have to go there. The conversation should have been about basketball. Yes, leave Kwame Brown alone because he achieved a goal and a dream that 1.3% of NCAA seniors will achieve, and 0.03% of high school seniors. You know how small a number that is? And, you know, just that's just simply being drafted in the NBA. If you play 13 seasons and make $65 million, you're a success, okay? If you work 13 years anywhere and make that kind of money, you're a success. So salute to that man. The only expectations we have to live up to is our own. That's why I always say success is subjective, okay? My views of success may be different than yours. As long as you're happy, that's all that matters. But we didn't even get into that conversation because my mind automatically went to something that it didn't even have to go to. And doing that, I unintentionally caused trauma. And since I unintentionally caused trauma, I have to be intentional about causing healing. I'm not about to sit around and have beef with another black man for nothing. Trust me, as y'all know, I have a lot of real enemies who are gunning for me every day. Kwame Brown is not going to be one of them, okay? I totally understand why Kwame Brown was upset at me. I went low. That wasn't my intention, but in hindsight, it was low, and Kwame took it to the floor with me. And y'all be online so excited, ready to see black people go back and forth and tear each other down. I'm not doing that. I'm not going back and forth if I feel like I wronged somebody. I'm going to apologize. That's what I think a good man does. A good man apologizes for the mistakes, you know, that he made, but a great man corrects them. Hopefully, I get the opportunity to do that one day. But for now, I just apologize. And I'm not beefing with a black man who's born where I was born and has family where I'm from. There's nothing on this planet that I love more than God, my family, in Monk's Corner, South Carolina, the whole low country, the 843. Drop on a clues bomb for the 843. Okay? So when I say I sincerely apologize to Kwame Brown and his family and the family of Bill Brown in Monk's Corner, I mean that. Only thing I'm responsible for is my energy in recognizing my own insanity. And Eckhart Tolle once said, to recognize one's own insanity is, of course, the arising of sanity, the beginning of healing and transcendence. I truly believe if trauma can be passed down through generations, then so can healing. Me, Leonard McKelvey, I have never claimed to be perfect. In fact, I'm far from it. I'm not going to always get it right. The same things people listen to me for is the same things they hate me for because I talk too much. I overshare. I overshare about myself. I overshare about others, and that has historically gotten me in trouble. But we are all works in progress, and one of the most healing things you can do is recognize where in your life you are your own poison. And last week, I was poisoned to Kwame Brown, Bill Brown, and their families. For that, I sincerely apologize. Please let Remy Ma give me Leonard McKelvey, Charlemagne the God, the biggest hee-haw.
Hee-haw, hee-haw. You stupid motherfucker. Are you dumb?
Yes, indeed. Donkey Today is brought to you by...